Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
John Jacob Jingle Eimerschmidt.
If he's waning, then your name is his name too. If it's waxing, if it's waxing, then you're like a tiger.
Welcome back to the internet's number one fake history podcast, The Lore Boys. We're dipping back into the SEO well this week by loudly claiming that this is Elder Scrolls 6 lore,
nice.
Which, to be fair, this is not confirmed yet, but I will bet dollars to donuts that there's going to be Khajiit in Elder Scrolls 6, right? Like, we can all agree that it's definitely... There's definitely going to be Khajiit, so I can confidently say that this is Elder Scrolls 6 lore.
Meow, 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 meow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're getting the Elder Scrolls fans keen for Elder Scrolls 6, and we're getting the furries on this episode, obviously.
Finally.
Yeah, finally. I'm your host, Ethan Ree, and joining me is Ma Peter and Dar James. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Yeah, hey. You know, they have their little European accents with yeah. the actor they chose for the Khajiit,
right?
Yeah, sort of.
Since the last time we did, so I played like a lot of Skyrim. I played like a good 40 or 60 hours of Skyrim. Like, I was going for 100%, and then something else caught my mind. But yeah, I played a whole bunch. It was a lot of fun.
Nice. This is the lore of the Khajiit, and where else but elsewhere. Do you guys know, for bonus points, right off the top here, before we even get into what the heck a Khajiit is? What's a Khajiit, huh?
What the heck's a Khajiit?
Do you guys know the
Khajiits in Iraq? Just like say everything completely wrong.
Yeah.
Do you guys know the two games that Elsewhere is featured in? One of them's a freebie.
It's Arena is one of them, and I guess ESO, right? So the first one in the MMO?
ESO was the freebie, I'd say, because it's all the zones are unlocked in ESO. Yeah. But yeah, it was featured in Arena, apparently, which I've never played, but apparently.
ESO, Arena's free. I've played like 20 minutes of it. It's old as fuck. It's unplayable by like modern standards.
Sure.
ESO has a siren song where I'm always avoiding the rocks, but it calls out to me every time it's on sale for $4. Like,
especially
right now.
it's worth it, man, if you can get past the grindy aspect of it. Like, if you just treat it like Warframe, like, I'm going to have to grind, but I'm gonna get that Elder Scrolls good shit too, like, then I think you'd have fun.
That's my thing. Like, I'm not gonna grind because I don't do the Warframe either, right? But especially when I do these episodes, man, like, every time I do one of these episodes, I'm like, God, I really wish I could get into ESO, or like, because there's so much content and so much lore like unlocked in it, right?
Yeah.
One quick detour just in regards to the grind is, like, I grind in Monster Hunter, but that combat is really good, and you have like a very clear goal where there is very little RNG involved, right? At least in World and Rise. Warframe, very clear goal. RNG can be a bit of a bitch sometimes. MMOs, this is why I couldn't go back to Destiny after I played 200 hours, then they were just like, hey, yeah, now there's a power cap, so all your stuff is worthless in 6 months. I'm like, cool, I'm never playing this again, and then never did.
Yeah.
It's because there's two, when you cannot, you just don't know what's gonna drop.
Right? I don't think you would ever get to that point in ESO. Like, from playing Final Fantasy 14 with you, like, I don't think you would ever get to the point where you hit power cap and you had to restart. Yeah. Like, I don't, if you got to that point, you'd be able to just explore every continent find all the cool shit and then stop playing. But
yeah, I know it's like story focused, right? Yeah. And yeah. On the subject of cat girls, yeah, I played like 2.5 hours of FF14 and I was like, I fucking hate this actually.
Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful though, the game. Like, I remember being in Argonian and like picking these flowers by this river and just looking up and like, wow, this is a beautiful world I'm in. Like, it's good. Yeah.
Cool. Before we get started, shout out to new patrons Noah Head and Balerion for subscribing to Lore Boys Prime.
Of course.
Welcome to the family. Take a kiss. Mwah. That's a freebie. Mwah. I guess all the other listeners could be taking that kiss too. Normally, we only give kisses to the patrons.
So I think the regular people know their place. They're not going to steal an illegitimate kiss. Come on.
I bet you Noah's heard this before, but their name would be an excellent person to become a headless horseman after death. Noah Head. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
It's also a good answer to, is it behind you? No.
No, ahead. Yeah.
Ahead.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. All I was thinking was like a road sign, like road ahead. Or like...
we say it all with love. Thank you for joining the patron stuff.
Thanks. If you guys are interested in becoming patrons of the show, get like a pretty pink name on Discord. We do have a Patreon, patreon.com/TheLoreBoys.
Red name. Pink is server booster.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a deep, like burgundy. I don't know. So there's lots of people on Discord who have been asking for Elder Scrolls. The top four that I saw was Last Peekaboo, Jester, Guitar King, and Pug Jesus No Pitsy Quebecois. So thanks all,
yes, of course.
Thanks all for the requests, everyone. If you guys want to get in touch and request an episode, check out the link in our Discord. Link to our Discord in the description of this episode, but. Enough housekeeping, huh?
Sorry. I was like, saw Pug Jesus was in the, like, trying to get their computer fixed, and they're having this really long thing, and I just started to post, like, hot dogs are meant to be enjoyed, not weaponized, whenever a fan threw a hot dog at Tiger Woods in 2011 was ESPN's quote of the year. And just completely unhelpful, so you're welcome, Pug Jesus, on that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. This is why the people come to the Lore Boys Discord, because they have problems and they want hot dog facts.
Someone help them. Someone help them.
Yeah. Cool. So a lot of all the lore in this episode is going to come from similar to the Hammerfell episode, the Pocket Guide to the Empire first edition and third edition were like huge resources for me. And then there's a bunch of like in-game books that we're going to talk about.
Okay.
So let's start ourselves off with a quote from the Pocket Guide to the Empire 3rd edition. Khajiit are commonly considered one of the beast folks, one of the few survivors of the original inhabitants of Tamriel before the coming of Mare and Man, and elsewhere is their home.
Oh.
Now, we've already kind of talked a bit about Khajiit because we obviously are super familiar with them. We haven't, you know, described to somebody who's never necessarily played an Elder Scrolls game or seen. We could talk until we're blue in the face about what a Khajiit is. Nothing we say will do better than the first line on the Khajiit wiki page on fandom.com.
Okay.
So top of the page, first line, not to be confused with cat. And cat is obviously a hyperlink to a disambiguation with the various installments of cats throughout the Elder Scrolls series. Namely two. So there's cat and there's cat wiki pages for Daggerfall and for ESO. I don't know if they don't exist in other games, but for somebody who's never played an Elder Scrolls game, doesn't know what a Khajiit is, they're cat people.
I wonder if you can kill cats. You can't kill children. You must be able to kill a cat.
Well, you can kill dogs and chickens. You can kill everything else.
That's true, yeah.
Right.
So I guess I say they're cat people. Not entirely true. They're cat people, and they're also cats, which we'll get into in a little bit. They're just like
smart
cats.
But it's like the Argonian, which we have an episode on, who are like the lizard people. It depends on like how they're born and raised. Is there some Argonians who are very humanoid, some who are like totally animalistic, some who are like these jacked up like Bane basically from Batman, but like a lizard, like, or I guess it would be the crocodile from Batman. He has one of those. Never mind. I'm an idiot. Yeah.
There are a lot of beast races. The Argonians is one that we've done an episode on. Those are the only other playable beast race, as far as we know. I talked about it during the Hammerfell episode. Like, the Slowed are like one of the beast races. I would love to do just like an entire, like, let's just go through all the fun little like beast races and go through a bit of their lore. So maybe keep an eye out and let me know if that sounds like something that you guys be interested in, because I think it'd be fun. So yeah, Khajiit are one of the 10 playable races in the Elder Scrolls. They're anthropomorphized cat people, or again, sometimes not anthropomorphized and just cats, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Okay. Like the Argonians, right. It's dependent on how they're born, not on how they're raised. It's entirely dependent on how they're born. Okay. But we'll get into it in a little bit.
Yeah. They hate Mondays, regardless whether they're playable or not.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Love lasagna, hate Mondays. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're known for their natural agility and stealth, leading to a pervasive racial prejudice that all Khajiit are thieves, is a common trope throughout the games.
Dude, you know what else they do racially? Their hands do 4 times the damage that of a man's, so yep. They're the perfect for a melee build in Skyrim. Yeah. Jesper, longtime supporter of the show, pointed that out on the server. And
The first Elder Scrolls game I played was Oblivion, and my first character was a Khajiit, like an unarmed Khajiit, essentially. And they got like the paralyzing power attack, like, unlocked by default because they started with 25 unarmed.
Yeah,
cool. So you could just like, it was like hold back and power attack, and you just like paralyze whoever you hit.
If you've only played Skyrim, people may not know. There are some wacky input and attack combos in fucking in Oblivion. Like, there is some very weird, like, keyboard mouse directional shit that you can do that, like, I don't think you appreciate how, like, kind of cool that is. There's, like, you can, like, do dodge rolls and shit, too, in that one. It's, like, as your skills rank up, you get different combos and different passive moves.
And they get the bonus on arm strikes because they're like kitties. They got claws. But, again, we'll talk about the claws in a little bit.
Okay.
So they're typically considered beast races of Tamriel. There are those, and there is like in-game canon theories, like in fiction canon beliefs that they're not, and they may actually be Myr. The main supporting theory for that is that there's different classifications, different breeds, I guess you could say, of Khajiit. Some of whom look very much like one of which looks very much like men, and one of which looks very much like Bosmer, the
hairless, hairless cat that doesn't really look like a man, dude. Just humanoid hairless cat, the wrinkles.
No, this is my friend Bobby. He's come on, Bobby, quit acting. Stand up on your 2 feet like you showed me before. Come on.
He's very affectionate. He's cold all the time. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Loreboy's canon. So yeah, the officially the canon is still open. They might be Myr, but not according to like their creation myth or like some other histories of like people who found the proto Khajiit at some point.
For people who didn't listen to our last ones, Myr is like the family tree of elves, right?
Yeah, exactly. Everything but man or beast folk, which is the majority of playable races in Skyrim. Yeah. So man comes from another plane, the Myr comes from another plane as well, and they're also descended from the Daedra and Aedra in some regard, but they make up like the Dunmer, who are the Dark Elves, they make up the Bosmer, who are the Wood Elves, they make up the Orsimer, who are the Orcs.
And the Altmer, who are the High Elves. The supreme magical ones.
Yeah, which leads to Old Mary Dominion and all that stuff. Yeah. So, Loreboy's canon, I'm going to say that they're not Myr, they're just beast folk, and my reasoning for that is there's never been an iteration of the games that they have a name that ends in Myr. Like, it's not Cat Myr. Like, that's not written anywhere on the internet, so, or anywhere canon on the internet. So I'm going to say, the developers didn't intend this, and it's like it's a fun little, like, in-universe fiction, but I think we're safe to say, like, no, they're definitely beast folk, right?
I like the in-game anthropologists who have not answered this yet, and how there's like the school of anthropology in Tamriel, like on Nern, is just like, I don't know. I mean, it's like a deep sea animal. It's just like, well, we've just never encountered a cat person alive long enough to analyze his behavior.
Well, speaking of deep sea animals, if there's deep sea elves, would they be Myr?
And if they're females, they got Mermeries. I'm sorry. So Khajiit are cat people, like we said before. They also come in typical big cat quadrupedal variety. So you do get Khajiit, who are like four-legged cats that like run around on the ground.
Cool.
They have the intelligence of like the other of the Khajiit. So they have the same like mental capacities. They're just like their physical form is changed essentially.
Okay,
they'll like still Aslan. Jump on. Yeah, they'll still jump on your counter and knock a glass onto the ground, but they know they're doing it. You know?
Yeah.
Can you imagine like an adult man sized Khajiit just like scratching at your door? It's just like, I don't know, my roommate ruined my couches.
Yeah. Well, you got to neuter them, otherwise they're gonna spray too. Like,
yeah.
You
know, oh man, yeah.
God damn it, Bobby! Stop that. That's a spray bottle.
Don't fucking spray me with that spray bottle, man. I hate that shit.
Like, I use Bobby. Bobby, a friend of the show that we mentioned a lot. So he's Murr in canon now, or he's Khajiit in canon.
Lore Boy's canon. Yeah.
So like real cats, they have claws, which is what gives them the in-game bonus to unarmed damage. We canonically, and I gotta stress, canonically know they share another feature of our very own Felis Catus.
I do know this one because I remember there's like a limerick or something. There's a limerick or something in Skyrim about it. Or
don't spoil it. Okay, don't. If you do know it, don't spoil it. But
it's the primordial pouch.
No. Good guess, but no. So one of the volumes in the games, I talked a bit at the beginning. There's a lot of like in canon books that you can read, right? One of the volumes of books in the games that you can find is called The Real Baron Zaya. It's a 12-part biography of the Dunmer Queen of Mournhold named Baron Zaya.
There's a lot of those, by the way. As someone who recently played, I came across that book like so many times. And I know it's not a skill book, trash, leave it behind kind of thing.
It's a 12-part book. There's 12 volumes, so there's 12 different volumes of it. In volume 4, the Queen Baron Zaya meets a Khajiit thief named Theris. Yada, yada, yada. The two have intimate relations, which confirms in canon that Khajiit have penile spines, just like real world cats.
Oh.
So they got barbs on their dicks. Just they confirm that in the canon. In that book, it's like Baron Zaya's like, that hurts. And he's like, well, no shit. What did you think? for the record, I read all the Khajiit chapters of the real Baron Zaya today. So you're welcome, everybody. Why? Like, I did it for us.
What's the evolutionary advantage of having barbs?
Because if an unwilling female cat didn't want to accept your genetic seed, they couldn't necessarily get away once you got in.
Oh, wolves have that, but it's a knot. Like, they just get like a bell, basically, on the end of their dick swells up, and they stay attached for half an hour, so no other wolf can come in and mix around the magic potion, I guess.
Yeah. Nature is awful. Evolution was not a plan, okay? Not to be a Loretta atheist, evolution was not a plan. It is all improvised, and it is just like whatever gets something else pregnant is the thing that carries on. That's why we're here.
We've talked about it a long time ago. We talked about it, but you got the ducks with the corkscrew penises, and then the females have like labyrinthian vaginas.
Dating's a labyrinthine enough. What do these ladies even want, dude? Jesus.
So also, like real cats, there are several different breed of Khajiit. They are not all the ones we see in game, and the ones we see in game are not all the same breed even. So in Arena, we see the breed known as Ohms. Those are the ones who look like the Bosmer or the Wood Elves. In Daggerfall, we see the Ohms Rot, which are the ones who look like humans. In Morrowind, we see the Suthe Rot. The breeds in Oblivion and Skyrim are never explicitly stated, so we're not exactly sure, but we can kind of... And
they got different legs, so they've got to be different. Because in Morrowind, Argonians and Khajiit cannot wear human boots because they have the reverse knees of like a reptile or a cat.
Puss in Boots denied.
Yeah. Don't talk shit, that movie's good.
I've heard good things about the new one from Peter.
Yes, in the bonus content.
So which breed of Khajiit is born, what we were talking about before, seems to have less to do with genetics than to do with astrology, of all things.
No. Well, we were just talking about dating and how confusing it is now. You have to know all the astrology charts to get with anyone these days. And
Pisces with a thorned dick. Dating as a Khajiit is terrible.
I sent Peter a reel, and it's a guy on Tinder doing like a speed run to date.
Oh,
and he's
so
like, pulls up a girl, and then she says her astrology sign, and then he already knows astrology, like pulling up the reference chart. I'm a Leo. And she's like, no way, we were a perfect match.
So yeah, both the Khajiit's appearance and physiology depends on which phase of the moon they are born in. And I wrote which phase of the moon. I should have written which phase of the moons, as you guys will remember.
That's true, yes.
Previous episodes, there's at least two moons on Nirn, the world in which Elder Scrolls takes place. There's at least two moons, we'll say. And I'll explain why I'm saying that in a little bit.
I just remembered something. The Baron Zaya thing, isn't that connected to the stones that you have to collect in Skyrim? Those like little pink stones.
There's the stones of Baron Zaya, yeah.
The
stones of Baron Zaya, which are supposed to be like her jewels. I didn't look up the lore on the stones of Baron Zaya, but
I remember you have to bring it to the bald dude in the Thieves Guild.
Thieves Guild, yeah. You can put it in a crown, which you don't get to wear, so that quest is fucking pointless.
apparently, it like unlocks a house or something for you, too, because I remember a guy was trying to go for 1,000,000 gold as fast as he could in Skyrim, and it turned out like growing your own crops and making stuff out of alchemy was one of the best ways to do it, and just selling it to vendors. And so he took the side quest of getting all the stones to get another piece of property so he could have more farmland to get to 1,000,000 gold faster. Yeah.
I watched a really cool playthrough of, or like broken playthrough of Skyrim, which was level one, like beat the game, but it basically involved like, and I don't know if this has been patched since, but it involved going to like the ritual stone, which is like, when you pass Whiterun, you go like up the hill on the right and like it's there, and it lets you just like revive, like resummon a corpse essentially, but it lets you do it like it summons all corpses in a 60-foot radius or something like that. But other summons, when you revive corpse, that when they die the second time they turn to ash and you can't revive them again, but not with the ritual stone. So you can just get like an army of like, you start with like an army of wolves, and then you end up with like an army of guards, and then you get like an army of giants, and then you can just kind of like run through the game and they just like do all your fighting for you. But you have, it's like all the stones you can only use once a day. So it's like you have to use it, then you have to wait 24 hours. Like you have to hit the wait menu and just like wait for 24 hours every time you use it. And it like lasts for like, I don't know, like a minute in game or something like that.
Diablo 2 necromancer playthrough of
exactly of
Skyrim. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, there was a bunch of other stuff that he eventually got it so that like he didn't have to wait the 24 hours and like the summons lasted like way longer and all that, but it got very crazy. Cool. We were talking about Khajiit though, not random stories from Skyrim, random YouTube Skyrim videos that I watched at 2 a.m. one time several years ago. So appearances vary drastically from one breed to another, some resembling the common house cat, some are quite small, others resembling giant tigers, and like I said before, others being indistinguishable from men or mer. There are 17 known or encountered breeds of Khajiit, though according to the first edition pocket guide, there are more than 20 in total, at least. I have a quote here. The Khajiit attribute their improbable biology to the workings of the Jakajay, the moon strings or lunar lattice, a magical and semi-divine phenomena believed to derive from the influence of Tamriel's twin moons, Maser and Secunda. So there's a lot of gobbledygook there. Jakajay is the essentially the Khajiit. The Khajiit have their own pantheon. There's a lot of parallels. So like Akatosh is known as Alkosh we'll get a bit more into them. We're not going to go deep into their pantheon because a lot of it is the same. But like Jakajay is he's a unique god to the Khajiit, and he comes in two forms, Jod and Joan, which represent the two moons essentially.
Okay.
Cool.
The two cat people that would buy a bunch of different cats, right?
Exactly.
Joan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So the main variations on their size and shape when born are dependent on Nirn's larger moon, Maser. That's the one known as Jod. Depending on the phase of Maser, the Khajiit will take on one of four main appearances. So if the moon is full, if Maser is full, there'll be a large quadruped. If Maser is not full, but it is waxing, there'll be a large biped. If Maser is a new moon, there'll be a small biped. And if Maser is waning, there'll be a small quadruped.
Oh, okay. I was hoping if one of them, like, it was the the top half. Oh, no, I guess that is how it works. What's the opposite? Wait, do they have, like, human feet? And then, like, a cat on the top. That's the normal part, right? Is there ever the opposite?
Like a centaur? Yeah. Like there's like the cat bottom and then the human at the top. Or...
Not well. I mean, so there's 17 encountered yet. Maybe Elder Scrolls 6 confirmed. We're gonna have human top. All the races in Elder Scrolls 6 are gonna be top half human and just bottom half the other bullshit. So
right. The other bullshit.
Like and I don't mean every playable race. I mean like every species, everything. Mud crab, whoa, bottom half crab, top half human. You know,
cool.
Dragons, bottom half, and I, you know, it's the how would a dog wear pants?
Yeah.
You can have the same conversation of like how would you split the dragon so that the top half is human. But yeah, that's how it's gonna be confirmed.
Cool.
I was just thinking about like how wildly dangerous a tiger centaur would be because you'd have like the upper torso of a man with like a spear and a shield, and then the lower body of a cat which has like the front paws and like those wicked kicking back paws. Oh, yeah. Like I would fuck you up.
Yeah. It reminds me of you know how people are whenever they become paralyzed from the waist, it's always the waist down. It's never the waist up. But like a cat running with a person on the top, like cats are so fluid. I feel like the top half would be flopping all over as the cat's running full blast. You know, it'd be hard to stay up straight.
Well, there's some comic, and I apologize for not being able to cite the author, but it's like when centaurs are babies, because foals will walk within an hour, but babies can't sit up for the first like 5 months of their lives. The foal bottom half is like running around, and the baby top half is just flopping around. You know? So the second moon of Nirn, Secunda or Joan to the Khajiit, affects how bestial a Khajiit will appear depending on its phase. During a waxing phase, a Khajiit is born more bestial, and during a waning phase, less so. So
I think I'll remember the name of those moons. It's pretty. The first bigger one is named Masser, like massive, and the second one is Secunda.
Yeah,
it's pretty easy to remember, isn't that?
I love how you're saying. I think I'll remember that. Like we haven't talked about it on like four other episodes. We haven't brought this up, so clearly you forgot it the other times. But we'll see if you do remember.
Well, it's striking a chord now. So
yeah,
we'll see.
So I have an excerpt here. It's pretty long, but we can joke in the middle of it a bit. It's an interview with some. It's weird. So I found this like series of interviews on the site, the Imperial Library, which is just like a repository of a bunch of like Elder Scrolls lore and also like real world things. Is this interview by this person named QWERTY, or who went by the name QWERTY, who wrote for like a Russian magazine who did a lot of interviews with Bethesda in like 2000 and 2001.
Okay, cool.
On the lore of the Elder Scrolls and like the development of the Elder Scrolls and all this other stuff. So this one in particular is translated from Russian. It is some Bethesda employees, so Douglas Goodall primarily, but also your boy Todd Howard and Ken Rolston, who are in character essentially as different people. And this is like circa 2001. Okay, so this is in character Bethesda employees. They're playing Khajiit named Jabasha, who's just like answering questions as though he was being interviewed by this Russian interviewer named QWERTY.
Okay, cool.
Khajiit are born to the lunar lattice, the Jakajay. The phases of Masser and Secunda at birth determine a form a Khajiit takes in life. Khajiiti newborns look very similar to one another, with their form becoming clear over several weeks. We are smaller than you humans when we are born, but we grow faster.
Okay.
When Masser is new and Secunda is full, the Ohms is born. They are like the Bosmer, but sometimes shorter. Many Ohms tattoo their faces to show they are Khajiit. So they look like so much like the Bosmer, or not like cats, that they actually will get like cat-like tattoos on their face to show that they are so.
Tabby.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tabby M above the eyebrows, right?
Yeah. Very nice.
When Masser is new and Secunda is waxing, the Ohms Rot is born. They have light fur and a tail, but they walk on their... But they walk on their heels like men and can be mistaken for men at a distance. So, Pete, you were kind of saying how, like, not all of them have the feet to fit a man boot. These ones do, and these ones, like, are often confused with men and just being like, oh, you're just, like, a hairy dude, you know?
You're a guy with a tail, whatever.
Feet to fit a man boot. I don't know why, but that phrase, it sounds so nice.
I wrote it down. Yeah. I wrote it down because I was like, it's got a nice, like, it's got a nice title to it.
Yeah. It's like cellar door, you know?
Yeah. It's got unique got New York. To feet to fit a man boot. Feet to fit a man boot.
Yeah. When Master and Secunda are new, the Soothaya is born. They look similar to Jobasha, but smaller, who's like the in-character Khajiit who's talking is Jobasha.
Okay.
When Master is new and Secunda is waiting, Soothaya Rot is born. Jobasha is a Soothaya Rot, as are nearly all Khajiit in Morrowind. Other races call the Soothaya Rot Jakajit, but Jobasha knows not why. Jakajit is one of our words for Mehrunes Dagon, which I could not figure out.
What the
I could not figure out why this was.
He's like the prince of destruction and change. Maybe it's like a form change thing.
I can only think like the ones in Morrowind might be viewed as like harbingers of this Daedric prince of destruction. I don't know. I looked into this. I could not figure out why. And again, this was like a live interview between a developer and, you know, a Russian journalist. So maybe he just like said it. A lot of this canon comes to be because he kind of just says it, I guess.
Knowing what we know about the Skyrim and stuff, we could just assume it's racism.
Well, the beast folk in Morrowind are slaves. They're like literal plantation slaves. The Khajiit and the Argonians. The Dunmer, big into slavery. They love it.
Yeah. A little too much, huh?
I'd say so.
What's the line, though, you know? How much can you love slavery before it's too much?
I think you could pay someone enough wages that they have to continue working, but it's enough to meet most of their needs on a day-to-day kind of thing. Debt slavery, I think, is we're cool with that in the real world. So
yeah, that's true. So when Master is waxing and Secunda is full, the Cathay is born. They are larger than Jobasha and stronger. When Master and Secunda are waxing, the Cathay Rot is born. They are even larger and stronger than the Cathay. When Master is waning and Secunda is full, the Alphic is born. The Alphic is like what you would call a house cat. Jobasha does not advise calling an Alphic a house cat, for while they are not made to speak your language, they do understand it. So there are like house cat, like quadrupedal small cats, or quadrupedal small Khajiit, I should say, excuse me, who again have the intelligence, have the intelligence to understand language, just don't have the mouth shape to speak it.
It's like you go and visit Sheogorath, and there's one of the, what's it called again, the house cat version of Khajiit?
Elphic.
So you go see Sheogorath, and you have the tea party, and there's one in the tree, an Elphic in the tree with the big smile and everything. Exactly.
Cheshire Elphic.
That doinks, When Master and Secunda are full, the Cench is born. The Cench is very large, but similar to the Pamarat, they stand as tall as an Altmer and can weigh as much as 20 Altmer. Other Khajiit ride them. So there's like...
they have like piggyback mounts of giant catmen.
Giant, not catmen. They're like, these are like four-legged ones. So like it's just like catmen riding giant cats, essentially.
That's rad.
Giant intelligent cats.
We don't have that. The closest thing we have are like horse girls who pretend to be horses and run on all fours.
I love that woman. She's just amazing. Oh my
There's
God.
Multiple. I found another
I've
one.
Seen,
and
I've
I
only seen the
Pete.
One.
Yeah.
Jamie sent me a crazy one recently.
Maybe I'll try and get a piggyback one of these days from one of them. We'll see.
That is really cool. Sorry, because when you said they were as tall as an Altmer, of course, I imagined them standing upright. But you mean like at the shoulder of the Khajiit? It is like they're like 6'5".
As tall as an Altmer, but weigh as much as 20. So,
huge.
When Master is full and Secunda is waxing, the Cench Rot is born. Cench Rot is much larger and slower than the Cench. Their legs are straighter and their body is not as long. They stand as tall as 2 Altmer and can weigh more than 50. These are also ridden, especially in battle. Imperials call them battle cats. But again, Jobasha does not suggest calling a Cench Rat a battle cat.
Imagine you're just a teenage Khajiit and you get pregnant and you get stuck with the one that's 50 times the size of you. And you gotta, first of all, give birth to these things. They're much smaller when they come out, but then you gotta
hope it's not a litter.
You gotta feed these things. Holy, man.
Oh my God.
When Master is full and Secunda is new, the Pamar is born. They're like what you would call a tiger. So they're like quadrupedal and just a tiger. When Master is full and Secunda is waning, the Pamar Rot, they are like the Pamar, but larger and more dangerous. So according to legend in the first edition pocket guide, there's another lunar alignment dependent on a third secret unconfirmed moon.
What?
Yeah, that's why I said there's at least two moons. So
these motherfuckers have a secret moon they've been hiding from us.
Right. Well, according to Khajiit legend, a main can be born only under a particular alignment of Master and Secunda when a third moon also appears in the sky in line with them. So essentially, there's like a Disney's Hercules.
Yeah, of course.
What do you call it?
It's the alignment. I can't remember.
It starts with a Z, I think. Ziglar.
When all the planets align, and then all the Titans get locked under the ocean or something.
I'm looking up the word for it. There's syzygy. A syzygy is when
that's the word for it.
Yeah, when the planets align.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Ziglarox is a song by Periphery, a band.
Oh.
So the main is the formal title given to the nonpartisan spiritual leader and ruler of Elsewhere and the Khajiit people.
Cool.
Khajiit tradition holds that only one main can be alive at any time and that there is indeed only one main because he's just reborn in different bodies throughout
the age. Dalai Lama, basically.
Does he have like a specific body type, or could he end up in, like, could he be the house cat? Could he be an elfic? Could he be a...
He's not a specific breed. He can be any breed of Khajiit. Technically, I sent you a picture, the only picture for today's episode, which is the only picture of a main that I found.
Wow.
You do meet a main in, you meet the ghost of a main in one of the games.
He's literally all main.
Yeah, so we'll get into what his deal is or why he looks like that, but you guys want to just describe what he looks like, I guess, for the listeners?
Cousin It from... the Addams Family. He's just hair from head to toe.
Yeah, it is like Cousin It, but without the blind guy glasses. It's just a regular cat's face in the middle.
just poking out of like these dreadlocks, just like sprouting off him. So to explain what the deal with that is, I have an excerpt from the first edition. In olden times, the Khajiit would shave off their own manes in deference to the main, braiding them into locks that he would incorporate into his own gigantic mane. Over time, as the population of the region grew, this ritual became impractical. Now, while all Khajiit still remove their manes, they do so largely as a symbolic sacrifice. The current main still wears the hairlocks and braids of his own tribe, as well as those of his warrior guard, which encompasses hundreds of Khajiit. He is so weighted down by the hair of his kinsmen that he cannot move without aid and often travels about the countryside by means of a palanquin.
Wow.
So he's so Cousin Itted himself, he like can't walk, basically. Can't
That's
wipe
crazy.
His own. Like, there's no way you can wipe your own ass in that, you know?
No,
like,
no.
And he has to go in the litter box too, and he's got all the litter stuck to it.
It's all matted.
Well, so we'll get to it in a little bit. They're from Elsewhere, which is desert, so like really the world is their litter box.
You
right?
can shit anywhere.
Oh. So they don't mention like which type of Khajiit it could be, so there could be like that. Like old pyramids in the desert from a long, long time ago with the house cat on top, who's actually the main. And they're all just like bowing down to the big house cat.
Yeah. I know, but you're like, your empire would go through like different cycles, right? Like you, at some point you'd have like a gigantic tiger king at some point.
Yeah,
and then
so
there
scary.
Would be like, oh, the dark times when the weak men ruled of just like a bunch of like foppish house cats completely weighed down by the wigs that their people donate to them.
Like, yep.
Which is like, so I was kind of mentioning it before. The only main you meet in games is in Elder Scrolls Online. There's a quest where two mains are essentially born under the light of that moon. And they have to basically battle each other to become the main. And it's like the quest is whoever you choose to support is going to end up becoming like the new main, essentially.
Cool. I thought the main was what the king called his boyfriend when he was trying to hide it up or whatever.
Yeah, so no, it's so telling of, and I mean, like, this is like super cool lore, like very interesting, and such a missed opportunity in so many ways, because like you said, Peter, like you'd have these like gigantic, like, you know, 12 foot tall at the shoulder, like lions that could have been main at some point, but like all the depictions, of course, are just like the humanoid ones, right? Like in Elder Scrolls Online, they presented three and they made them all like, oh, no, they're all like the humanoid ones, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that kind of like a development thing, right? Because if you, I know, again, to go back to Monster Hunter, the reason there's only like five or six kinds of monster is because they only design five or six animation skeletons to save time and then just model and texture them on top of that. So you've got the T-Rex skeleton and the dragon skeleton and like the monkey skeleton, stuff like that. So like, obviously it's like, I know like Starfield is coming out and there's a lot of headlines about like, we're going to have 12,000 planets. I'm just like, no, please, God. And then, but like, instead of having multiple cooler or like multiple kind of diverse builds of cat person or Argonian person where all these different races have different forms, it's just like, yeah, I mean, well, we wanted 600 characters with three lines of dialogue instead of, you know, like, and we're just going to talk up all this other cool shit. Not to shit on Elder Scrolls at all. I think it's great, but it is, yeah, it is a wasted opportunity to not model like one.
Dude, right. It's the future. We got procedurally generated cats now of all sizes. Yeah.
just get ChatGPT to make me a video game. I don't know.
Yeah, that'll be better.
No, but like, not even. I mean, that's a fair. Those are fair points in terms of like game development, Pete. But like, they could just make an art. Like, just mock up some art of like a cool. Like, if you're gonna draw like one main ever, like, why not make like just like two and make one of them like the cool bestial one? I don't know.
Yeah, and use the wolf skeleton. Use the bear skeleton. Do one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. There are big four-legged animals in Skyrim. Sorry, I didn't mean to. Yeah.
Make them a dragon. They
have saber-toothed fucking cats in Skyrim. What are they talking about?
they turned Alduin into Thomas the Tank Engine. Like, why couldn't they just make a fucking bestial main?
Or just have a fucking Thomas the Tank Engine just weighed down completely with cat fur.
Exactly. Nobody would ever know. So the main was a spiritual leader, much like the Dalai Lama, but would remain neutral in times of conflict and is not a specific breed, like we were saying, just a unique Khajiit among the existing breeds. He's the ruler of the Khajiit and of their homeland elsewhere. But more on elsewhere after the break.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It is said that 100 civilizations are buried beneath the sands of Elsweyr, and it may be unwise to assume our current empire will forever stand above the shifting sands of the desert province. The Khajiit, who occupy the southern land between Blackmarsh and Valenwood, have always been a restless people and prove regularly that nothing in Tamriel is immortal. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking about the Khajiit, and we're talking about Elsweyr, their home. What do you guys know about desert, huh?
Hot during the day, cold as fuck at night.
That's true. I've heard that.
A lot of sand.
Some of them.
Or a lot of snow. Antarctica, desert.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
What else?
Some of them are probably just like dirt, right? Like, not even sand, but dirt. Yeah.
Their landscapes are like, well, especially the sand ones can be like really temporary. I guess the snow ones too, just because like the winds will change actual like mountains and stuff because of just
the dunes.
Yeah, the dunes, how stuff moves around. There's this
icy also.
Yeah. True. I have that book. I haven't read it yet. It's on my piano right now. Yeah, it's right there.
Dune?
Let's go read it. Yep.
Oh, good. Just read it. Read it, coward.
I should.
So, according to the monomyth, or their monomyth, I should say, we've talked about the monomyth before. It's like the creation myth for the Elder Scrolls world. Do you guys remember the top dogs in the Elder Scrolls creation myth?
Akatosh.
No,
he came afterwards. It's like Ayla or something. It's a
Anu and Anu.
Okay,
and the one that sounds like a Star Wars princess,
Leia.
There's Padme.
Oh,
yeah, the same thing. Leia? Yeah. I don't remember that one.
Well, Leia?
Yeah. Anu and Padawan.
Yeah. According to the Khajiit monomyth, the Khajiit have lived in Elsweyr since Azura, who's a Khajiit god spelled Azurah. It's the parallel to Azura, the regular one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Came down to Nirn and lifted a species of forest people stuck between man and beast and brought them to the desert. So according to their own myth, they said, like, we were like a people that lived in the forest, and we were kind of like an anthropomorphized cat until
our gods were tired of picking up our poops. So they put us into a place where it's much easier to pick up the poop.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Where we can bury our own poop.
The wind shifts the dunes and it's just like, oh yeah, like where you pooped is gone by the morning because it's all blown away.
It's the what is it, Ozymandias with like the giant statue sticking out of the stand, but it's just like one, like a litter scoop just sticking out of the desert. So I got a quote for you guys. It's another long one. It's from the in-game book, The Words of Clan Mother Anisi. I wrote Clan Moth. That's not right. The words of Clan Mother Anisi. In the beginning, there were two littermates, Anur and Fadame.
Okay.
completely unique and original creation story we got going for.
Yeah.
We talked about this before. We talked about it, I think, during the Argonian episode quite a bit. I think it's because like their creation myth was like kind of similar to, and like they changed some things. The Argonians went like way more off with like the Hist. Yeah. But the fact that there was a lot of like concurrent themes that tie back to other mythology is just like, if ancient Greece and ancient China both had the exact same stories, we'd probably like be giving them a lot more credence to being like, maybe that was legit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if Peruvians, ancient Greeks and ancient Chinese could all agree, then it's probably like, oh, that probably is like real then. Right.
And it's like the flood myths. It's just like very clearly there was like flooding in the Fertile Crescent at some point because a bunch of people talk about it still.
Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly. Yeah. I was going to say, I was like, Ethan's wife probably knows more about this than me, because I feel like she studied some of that stuff with religion and stuff in school.
Yeah, she's a nerd.
Yeah, so
got her.
There are there are those like common things that come up in all the myths. Yeah.
Yeah. Enough about that. Let's talk about video games, guys.
Sick.
Just to continue the quote. After many phases, Fatime said to Anur, "Let us wed and make children to share our happiness." And they gave birth to Alkosh, the first cat. Alkosh is the equivalent to Akatosh.
Okay, yeah.
And Anur said, "Alkosh, we give you time for what is as fast or as slow as a cat." It's all just the same story, just with a lot of cats sprinkled.
Yeah. Okay. It is a find and replace, basically. Yes.
So I just hit fast forward a little bit. They go through like the same order of gods being created as Anu and Padme. You guys will remember that like Padme at some point has to like retreat into the sun to hide from Anu, who's like angry. The same thing happens here where Anu says like, "Hey, that's enough kids, no more kids." And Fatime just like decides to have a few more kids. So the last of the kids that she has, and Fatime gave birth to the moons and their motions. And she gave birth to Nirni, the majestic sands and lush forests. And she gave birth to Azura, the dusk and the dawn. So in order, it's the moons, the earth, and like the cycle of night and day, basically.
Okay.
Like the orbits, essentially. Nirni being the world, obviously. We talked a bit about the god of the moons a little bit before. Jah or something.
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
If he's waning, then your name is his name too. If it's waxing, then you're like a tiger.
If he's waxing, then you're Mr. Miyagi.
There you go.
That's right.
To continue the quote. "And from the beginning, Nirni and Azura fought for their mother's favor. Nirni, to you, Fatime leaves her greatest gifts. You will give birth to many people as Fatime gave birth today." When Nirni saw that Azura had nothing, Nirni left smiling. So they had kind of been like competing for their mother's attention. And then mom says like, "Hey, you're the world. You're going to like birth the races of the world," essentially, which is like the beast races specifically. Right. So most applicable to the Khajiit and the Argonians of the playable races.
Yeah.
"And all of Fatime's children left except Azura. And Fatime said, 'To you, my favored daughter, Fatime leaves her greatest gift. To you, Fatime leaves her secrets. And Fatime told her favorite daughter three things. When Nerni is filled with her children, take one of them and change them. Make the fastest, cleverest, most beautiful people and call them Khajiit. The Khajiit must be the best climbers, for if Master and Secunda fall, they must climb Kenarthi's breath to set the moons back in their courses.
Oh.
The Khajiit must be the best deceivers, for they must always hide their nature from the children of Anur. The Khajiit must be the best survivors, for Nerni will be jealous, and she will make the sands harsh and the forests unforgiving, and the Khajiit will always be hungry and at war with Nerni.
Wow. So whenever in that first one, it made me think the moons are just like big balls of yarn.
Yeah.
And they're falling down, and the cats are like
batting at them
back up. Yeah.
That would be like some sort of epic myth, like carved into the wall of a pyramid, right? Like some giant exactly. cat just like batting back the sun itself. Yeah, or, like batting back one of the moons.
Yeah.
It's basically saying like, the reason why they're known as like good liars is because their goddess told them like Anur is like chasing Fatime at the time, and Fatime was hiding when she gave birth to Azura and Nerni and the moon god. And the next line in this is, and then Fatime dies essentially. So she got beat up and she didn't survive. But she gave the gift of deception to Azura to give to the Khajiit, so that they could basically escape from that same like grandpa's anger, patriarchal rage, I guess,
against cats. It does all like the qualities of a cat. They live on every continent except like Antarctica, and they're very stealthy. Like a cat doesn't want to be found; it'll just never be found, right? Yeah. So they're survivors. They're very stealthy.
Yeah.
So who's the patriarchy? That's Anu.
Yeah, Anu being the
big anger dad. Is it like the dad who gets a cat and pretends not to like it at first, but then by the end, Anu has a Khajiit and is cuddling it when no one's watching? Or?
No, the dad goes into the basement and like makes a bunch of Daedra, like demons, gives birth to Sithis, who gives birth to the Daedra to like.
We have an episode on this. Yes, okay. I remember now.
I said no pets.
I'll show you. There was an old lady who got a house cat and ends with her swallowing a Daedric prince. They made them good. Azura was told by Fatime to make them good survivors because they'd be living in the desert. Again, it's a creation myth. So like I say this every time we talk about creation myths, but like I love the idea of like reverse engineering these to make it like fit the people. And I do think Elder Scrolls always does such a good job with this, where it's like, yeah, they're desert people, so they have something in their creation myth that's like, oh, we're living in the desert because, you know, our goddess built us to survive in it.
And we clearly see like the moons change the way our children are born, so we must be tied to the moons.
It's very much just like that. It's trying to explain it away. It's like, so why don't we live somewhere with drinkable water? It's like, because the God made us tough.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as a result, Elsweyr is a harsh land of arid scrubland and sprawling desert, bordering on more verdant lands at its borders. So it borders on Cyrodiil. It borders on the Valenwood. It's way south. It's way south. So it borders on the Valenwood, which is where the Bosmer live, so where the Wood Elves lived, and it borders on Cyrodiil, which is where the humans. I see Jamie searching a map of.
Yeah, I just want to look at. I just want to look at the map of Nern just so I have like a good reference. Yeah.
It has like a coastal region in the south of Elsweyr. It actually does have like marsh and rainforest and jungle, essentially.
Cool. That's a transition to Black Marsh, right?
Does
it border that?
I think it does on the east, but it's not necessarily like the.
I'll post in voice. I have it.
Okay.
Anyway, Elsweyr's society has always been divided along this line of like the harsh desert in the north and the verdant kind of rainforest in the south, which just makes sense. There's like a stratified plantation aristocracy centered on production of the hallucinogenic moon sugar, occupying the southern groves, and a society of nomadic desert tribesmen occupying the badlands and desert. So it is like mostly desert, but there is like a rich, you know, like verdant area in the south, and that's like where the rich people live because that's where the means of production is, right?
It's like, I guess it would, I mentioned it earlier, not really knowing that it would be a direct comparison. It is like the Fertile Crescent, like kind of North Africa, exactly. Or like Northeast Africa and like Jordan. And then you've got like nomadic Bedouins out in the dunes.
Yeah, there's a really interesting, map of the southern United States plantation country, you know, like the Confederate South, the dirty South, you can see voting demographics, and you can overlay that with like soil fertility, and they match up like really closely, because where soil fertility was high, people had a lot of slaves, and the descendants of slaves, black people, tend to vote Democrat, not Republican.
Interesting.
So it's like a really interesting, like, oh, just because like these were the verdant places, like that's where this thing is focused, which is, I guess the parallel here is like, this is the verdant area. So this is where like the wealth is focused, is in the South, right?
Well, yeah. In Europe, there's a map that shows radiation poisoning and porn preference, and hentai is most preferable in areas of high radiation. So what does that say? That people who get a little bit too much of the uranium juice, they like the 2D women. So I think
it means I must have been irradiated as a child. I don't know. I guess, yeah, JB posted the map. Ellesmere doesn't border on Black Marsh, but just because Cyrodiil kind of like juts down in between the two, it looks like.
Yeah, I completely forgot the shape of Cyrodiil. Because I haven't played Oblivion in years.
I was just trying to remember. I played Oblivion not that long ago. I was just trying to remember. I was like, does Black Marsh like reach under Cyrodiil? But I didn't think it did. So this is like kind of like modern day society more is like that split. Early in the first era, so like we're in the fourth era in the games, right? Fourth or fifth era, depending on the game. Early in the first era, there were 16 independent realms in Ellesmere. Unlike states of Man and Myr, there was little competition for land and resources between them. There was almost no like border wars or clan warfare at the time. Instead, they recognized their own idiosyncratic strengths and would specialize in that, supplying their neighbors in exchange for equal measure. So as an example, Ne Quinal, where great warriors were born in trade, might trade its warriors to Torval in exchange for fish and other bounties of the sea. So there, it is like the an idyllic society. It seems like, according to the third edition Pocket Guide to the Emperor, where everyone is just like, we don't have any fish because we're in the desert. You guys are on the coast, but we do have warriors because we don't have any. We don't spend any time fishing or farming because we're in the desert. We just spend time practicing fighting, I guess. So I'll trade you a stout warrior for a fish.
Makes me wonder how the history was like. Brought on to like the next eras or whatever, because like I guess with in the case of humans, like you would know, oh, these guys were at war because we found stone tip arrowheads and we found like stabs into whatever, but the Khajiit fight with their hands. They're not going to find weapons.
Yeah.
They were very peaceful. They never fought ever. We didn't find
just a bunch of receipts.
So the dominance of each region, so again, there's 16 states, we can call them, the dominance of each state is influenced by the moon or the moons. I keep writing moon when I mean moons. And that accord was respected by all. So when both moons were full, Ne Quinal was in dominance. When both moons were half, Torval. And when both moons were new, Senchal was dominant. So it's basically just like depending on which phases of the two moons, the same as the kind of the birth chart.
Everybody just gets their turn.
Yeah, we'll just change who is the like in charge of the government at the time, essentially.
The astrology girl cat people really did, like, maybe we should give that a shot. Clearly the governments we currently have don't work, so maybe like we can give that a shot in the real world.
I did write down like a couple jokes about like a pumpkin spice, like a Khajiit with a pumpkin spice latte and Ugg boots that I just like couldn't make work, and I kept deleting in the script. So like,
yeah, there's also something there with like time of the month and like coming around. I don't know where to put it all together, but yeah.
So another a continuation of the last quote I read you guys from the third pocket edition. For 1,000 years, this delicate astronomic and political dance was equal to facing every threat posed against the Khajiit. The Eleusinian Empire chose not to extend its borders too far south, and the Bosmer of Valenwood likewise knew how far eastward they dared to extend their kingdom. But the terrible Thracian plague of first era 2260 finally upset this balance forever. Traveling down the trade routes into the heart of Ellesmere, the plague decimated the Khajiit, forcing the survivors into roles they did not choose. Thus was the province turned from 16 states to only two, Pas-Alantine and Nez-Quinal, more commonly known by their Cyrillic names of Pelantin and Anaquina. So things were going great until COVID came and just kind of fucked everything up. Supply lines got fucked. And basically, like, certain populations, like the fishing people got like too decimated that they're like, well, we can't provide fish to everybody now unless you guys like send some people over. And there's just kind of like this great like mix up of people and, you know, a cultural revolution, I guess you could say, not necessarily a good one.
That is how I think the Black Plague part of it was. It was spread by trade, like ships and the Silk Road, like spread it. That's how it like got so far.
Yeah. Well, there's rats on every ship, right?
Yeah, exactly. Also, yeah. It's sort of COVID too in our globalized world, like got here on a plane.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. So after the Thracian Plague, but prior to the second era, 309, Elsewhere was almost continuously mired in internal conflict and strife between its tribal factions. So like, it was just like the perfect balance, and it just like just got tipped off, and they've never found their footing again.
Yeah.
Due to its tribal strife, it was incapable of presenting a common force to external enemies. And in the words of the Pocket Guide to the Empire First Edition, the nearly constant insurrection and tribal warfare among the Catmen rarely troubled the stage of history. So they kind of enter this like Dark Ages where they're very just like internal and feuding amongst themselves. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's all this bloodshed and death, but like nobody really cares about what's going on in the desert.
Well, they're too busy infighting to like invade Cyrodiil, right?
Yeah, exactly. And they never seemed like super keen on invading Cyrodiil. Like it seems like this was their land given to them by God, right? Like they just wanted to defend it, but like they didn't make any like significant like cultural or scientific or anything advances during this time, just because they were really in the Dark Ages, right?
Yeah, I mean, if your culture is so insular and you can't trade with outside people, it's just like, again, it's like with the fertility of the soil or even the Fertile Crescent in the Middle East, it's just like, if you guys don't have iron, you're not going into the Iron Age. It's literally impossible.
Exactly, yeah. I'm trying to think what Khajiits would be good at. It's like, yeah, street magic didn't really penetrate into the next...
the cultural renaissance. Can you just imagine, like, you have, like, Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, Donatello, you got, like, all the... You know, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but they're just named after like street magicians. Like, yeah. Houdini, David Blaine, David Copperfield.
Yeah, there's Chris Angelo with his, baton. Yeah.
It's got like, it's just Michelangelo, the Ninja Turtle, which is the Chris Angel hair. It's just something that I put that on a t-shirt. So what is known about the Khajiit is that they have, or some knowledge about the events around the world during this time that they did have some knowledge of, even though they were so like insular and kind of involved in their own stuff. They were aware of the eruption at Vardenfell. Listen to our Morrowind episode if you want to learn more about that. Yeah. Morrowind episodes.
Weren't they all like culturally mixed up already? Because that happened when the prison crashed into the island in like the third era. That happened after Oblivion, I think, didn't it?
I don't know. I can't remember.
The Red Mountain may have erupted twice. I definitely mentioned it in that episode a million years ago.
Yeah. So they called that Sun's Death. They say like the eruption of Vardenfell. So I'm going to guess it's happened once. But either way, like this period of like stagnation lasts up until the second era, 309. So I'm not sure what exactly the timeline looks like there. Some sources even state that the Khajiit fought alongside Wolfhearth at the Battle of Red Mountain. So cool. It seems like that also happened before this point.
Yeah, because the Battle of Red Mountain would have been like when they, whatever. We have an episode about it. Sorry, never mind.
I have another quote for you guys, or a continuation of a quote. The two kingdoms, of course, represented the moons at their extremes, but also radically different interpretations of Khajiit culture, which they adopted from the tribes each had absorbed. The people of Pelantin considered their neighbors in Anaquina to be uncouth barbarians, while the Anaquinians looked to the south and saw only decadence and depravity. Again, this is that cultural line, right? Where you have these rich aristocrats with all these resources, and then you have these hardened warriors living in the desert.
Yep.
For many more centuries, the two lands fought, neither gaining appreciable ground. The south had the wealth and could hire mercenaries and withstand sieges, but the north had a warrior culture and could never be dominated.
Wait, you didn't say aristocrat. You said it really. There's the Aristocats for the Warriors. Okay, got it.
I can't believe I missed that. Oh my god. Scrap the episode. Let's start over, guys.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's okay. We'll pretend this never happened.
Workshopping your pumpkin spice joke, you're like, nah, no more jokes, never mind.
So in Second Era 309, the king and queen of the opposing states decide on a resolution. Carrigo of Anaquina and Ashita of Pelatine, the king and the queen, would marry. And Elsewhir established a central government. So they have a very European move of just like marry for a political alliance and we'll call it a fucking day.
Yeah. These cats seem really good at politics.
I mean, they're cunning, like, right? That's like their whole thing.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. It's like based on thinking about the actual animal, it's just most of them are super fucking solitary and have like no social interaction whatsoever, except for like a pride of lions, right?
Yeah.
Like the cats are happier by themselves. You've got tigers are by themselves, a lot of these other things. But like these ones, like, no, I mean, thank God tigers can't set up government because we would be doomed.
Exactly. Yeah. How would they like get married? Do you think that like it goes... pulls a ring from behind her ear and slides it onto her paw. Or,
it's like he's got three folded cards on a collapsible table.
Is this your card? Ace of diamonds? No, it's not. Check your finger.
Okay. Yeah, and just a bunch of cats like reacting like over the top in the background.
My freak.
the king and queen of these opposing sides get married. When the two leaders are forming their alliance, they recall an old Khajiit proverb: "Perfect society is always elsewhere." Giving the land its modern name. So it comes from an old Khajiit.
I always thought that was like a developer pun. It's like, where are the cats? The cat people from? It's like elsewhere.
It is. So this lore bomb comes from a different QWERTY interview with the developers, and one of them basically says it comes from the Khajiit proverb: "Perfect society is always elsewhere." So he says that, but it's absolutely just like, for sure, it just started like they're elsewhere, and then I really feel like they reverse engineered that as well.
Yeah, right. I like this is gonna be way too Canadian, but like that is one of those like part of our heritage commercials where you've got like the Native American or the Native Canadians saying like Canada, and the French idiots are just like, well, that must be what the country is called. Is just like the part of our heritage would have that proverb in it, right?
Canada just means like river or whatever, in like that dialect of indigenous.
Yeah, the Iroquois language or whatever it was. Yeah.
Shows like a sponsor and like the sound of a loon afterwards or something. I don't know.
So the resulting merged state naturally causes some discord. It turns out that you know, not to call back to America again, but they're gonna have another civil war, it seems like.
Okay. Boogaloo.
Particularly among former feudal aristocracy who, you know, had once been like there had these influential positions in their own like smaller government and were now mainly symbolic. They only had their vast riches for comfort, you know, and their continued resources. Right. They decided to take up arms against the United States, or should I say they hired armies to take up arms? Obviously, they're not going to get their hands dirty.
Right.
The war wages for some time until the normally bipartisan Maine steps in to help negotiate. So,
and by the way, the whole thing just sounds like 1 a.m. alleyway. Exactly.
Or oh my actually, God. When Can I you imagine this sound? The fucking like lines, like that, it's like 10,000 cats strong, right? Yeah. Can you imagine like the Battle of Waterloo, where there's just like on either side, just like that noise, the caterwauling on both sides?
Yeah.
Waking up people in different provinces, just like, shut up! Dumping hot water out the window.
The Lord of the Rings, like aerial view of the army, and you can see like the first four rows, all their backs become hunched and just spreading backwards through the lines. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Ready? Charge! And then like, you know, one cat kind of like darts off to the side, another one starts licking itself, another one's like wandering out into the middle of the battlefield, like flops onto its side.
Yeah, can't hurt a cat army. This is simply chaos.
So here's a final quote for you guys from the first edition pocket guide. Maine Ridtharidatha bestowed to the classes equality under the bilunar shadow, dividing their power in accordance with two moons dance of the Jakaje. So the main steps in, basically reinstitutes what they had with like the 16 states with just the two, where they say like, hey, just like when this one's in power or when this one's full, like this group is in power. When this one's full, the other group is in power. And that's the system of government in Elsweyr today. Is it's this kind of like fluctuating, like every 4 years they vote in a different party. And,
well, you had like the southern like moon sugar plantation owners, and then the guys up north. It was just like, okay, like now they just bring in their spiritual leader to like end the war on drugs, like decriminalize moon sugar, and it's just like, oh, good, peace, finally.
Essentially, control of the region of Elsweyr fluctuates between city cat and country cat, depending on the phases of the moon. To your moon sugar drugs. Fun fact: it's not a drug to the Khajiit, but we'll talk about that more on the bonus episode. That's been it for the Khajiit lore this week, folks. If you like the episode, consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes or your podcast app of choice. It really means a lot to us and really helps the show to grow. And if you want to, you could also just tell some people you know about the show, some coworkers, some strangers on the bus, whatever you think is appropriate.
Especially strangers on the bus. Yeah.
Especially strangers on the bus. We don't advertise the show. So this is the only way we grow. And we've been growing great because of your guys' hard work.
We've given like a lot of opportunities where we say, okay, you know what? If you're on the bus, just grab a stranger's hand. That's happened in past episodes. So, like, I think there's more than once. So, like, those are the perfect opportunities. You know? Yeah.
Peter, what's going on in the Instagram / comic world these days?
At Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. I'm on vacation from my day job to get to my comic job. Things have been going well. I had a good flow there in December, and then work got crazy busy working on Ant-Man, Ants Take Manhattan, as I believe the subtitle is now. I'm not really sure. Can't remember. Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, just doing my personal work, doing my thing. People be sending me stories these days, so feel free to send me some donk memes if you wish. I will give you a heart react because I'm probably pooping or doing something else when I'm reading your messages.
Yeah, and that's at Loreboys Podcast on
Instagram. Give us a follow. We have on the subject of astrology girls. Currently, we have more followers than like some hot chicks that I know who post thirst traps. So it's very good to know that like. Art's not dead. You can post a single image every week.
We can be successful.
Do better than a hot chick sometimes.
We can be successful without putting women down, Peter. Okay.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Jimbo, what's going on with you, man?
Just getting the Discord. That's where I spend most of the time. I've been chatting up a storm in there lately, hanging out with the folks, doing like food picks, dog picks, video game progress updates, all that fun stuff.
Computer troubleshooting help.
Yeah, I just noticed I'm drinking a desert Death Valley beer, and we're in the desert, so it's
the desert. Yeah,
very much. I got the right beer today. This is the first time I tried it, and it's good. It's triple hops. It was hoppier than I expected. I didn't read the triple hop part, but
strong. Yeah, the link to the Discord is in the description of this episode. If you guys want to request an episode or just chat with us, that's a great place to do it. We also have an email, loreboyspodcast@gmail.com or contact@loreboys.com. We will be doing a mailbag at some point in the near-ish future. No dates confirmed or anything like that, but we are going to humbly ask you guys to send in some emails. They can just be funny, they can be jokes, they can be sincere, they can be whatever you want, and if they're not super inappropriate, we'll read them live on air.
One quick thing about that, actually, try and keep them a little bit short. I do appreciate when people want to like gush, but in the since we're going to be reading it live, maybe keep it to 2 paragraphs or less. That would be great.
Leave what you would really want us to read at the top, otherwise we might just cut some of the bottom Yeah, and if you guys want to support the show, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys, where you guys can get access to the loser titles game that we play. You get access to some special channels on the Discord. And we do have bonus content. We're coming up on 50 episodes of bonus content, averaging around 30 minutes each. This week, we're going to have some bonus lore that I kind of hinted at about moon sugar.
I have a bone to pick with both of you guys.
Both of us. Okay.
Well, actually,
before this episode started, Jamie told me he had a bone to pick with Peter, and he said, don't tell Peter, but now he's outing that it's also me.
It's a lesser one with you, but I have a bone to pick with both of you. So
that's fine.
We're going
to
take it.
Tune in if you guys want to tune into whatever the fuck that is. Patreon.com/.
He doesn't seem upset.
You can hear Jamie neg us, I guess. And of course, if you guys don't believe in Patreon because it's not part of your feline creation myth, then we do have Lore Boys Prime, which is technically canon to all major world religions, just by weird coincidence. We didn't design it like that, but Jesus did believe in our message of Lore Boys Prime. This week, we will be issuing you guys some call them when you horoscopes? That's the word.
Horoscopes.
We're gonna be writing some horoscopes. So we just need you guys to send us a picture of you holding a stranger's hand on the bus,
right?
For an undisclosed reason. Hey, buddy, don't worry about it. Okay, don't even sweat why we need that picture. Okay, but we do need the picture. So send us a picture, and we will send you back a customized horoscope based on your astrological sign or not. Maybe the phase of the moon, or maybe whatever.
Yeah. Do some street magic with them, and then like make their hand end up in your hand, and they didn't even expect it.
Oh,
is this your hand? It's like,
holds up like stump of arm, like,
exactly.
And I think that would cost you a lore boys.
Lore boys.
Lore boys.
You good, James?
We're good. Yeah, all good. I'm listening. I just had to take care of something.
Yeah, no shit.
Way too distracting to just power through that.
I have my god. It looks like, who's that guy from Sons of Anarchy, like the guy that cats look like his face?
Ron
is
Perlman?
This guy? No, I shared a photo. That is Ron Perlman. It is the guy from Sons of Anarchy.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, I thought that's what Ethan was showing us. I just saw that. It was Beauty in the Lore Boys chat. There's just Beauty and the Beast, Ron Perlman, that is kind of ugly. But
yeah, so he was in like a TV show of Beauty and the Beast with the I can't remember the actress's name, but the Sarah Connor from Terminator. And I was thinking of like they have like a star chart basically on how their baby's going to look based on the phases of the moon. It's like a sliding scale of like house cat to Ron Perlman from that show. Basically, it's just like what your baby's going to look like when you're like.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.